This is the Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens. This is the College Edition. Listen to the exciting story of the American Community Schools of Athens. Check out what drives all the members of our international community of learners as we create the education of the future. Here's John Papadakis.
Welcome to the special college edition of Owlcast. Today we're welcoming Catherine Papen, Marketing Officer of the Global Engagement Office from Griffith College in Ireland. In the studio also with us today is Annie Angelidis from the Center for Student Success of ACS Athens. There are some historic ties between ACS Athens and Griffith College, since Ms. Papen has visited with Professor Dermot Hegarty, the founder and president of the college, back in 2019, where a cooperation agreement was signed between our two schools. Catherine Papen recently visited our campus to connect with students interested in pursuing higher education in the European Union, sharing insights about Griffith College and its unique position as an international learning hub. Griffith College, with its three campuses across Ireland, offers a deeply multicultural experience, hosting students from over 120 nationalities, all while providing close industry ties that prepare students for global careers. In today's episode, Catherine Papen highlights the benefits Griffith College offers compared to UK institutions, especially post-Brexit. With rising fees and work limitations now impacting students in the UK, Ireland presents an attractive alternative for EU and non-EU students alike. Catherine explains that Griffith College graduates benefit from Ireland's welcoming post-study work policies, which allow them to gain essential work experience after completing their studies. This factor, according to Catherine, combined with Griffith's academic excellence and career-focused programs, positions the college as an ideal choice for those seeking both affordability and opportunity. Our conversation also revolves around how Griffith College supports international students' transition into university life. Catherine discusses how the college's international office, open door policies, and active student support systems help new students adjust to the cultural and academic shifts of studying abroad. She notes Griffith's commitment to fostering a sense of belonging and well-being for all its students, which has been a cornerstone of its success over the past 50 years. Finally, Catherine Papen shares some memorable stories from her experience with Griffith College, emphasizing the legacy of its founder, Dermot Hegarty, and the institution's dedication to personalizing the educational journey. Stay tuned to learn how Griffith College is not only shaping students' futures, but also making an impact that lasts a lifetime. Whether you're a prospective student, a parent, or simply curious about studying abroad, this episode offers valuable insights on what makes Griffith College a standout in education in the European Union. This is not your first visit to ACS Athens, correct?
No, absolutely.
You have visited with Professor Hegarty in the past, in 2019. Where we signed a cooperation agreement between our two schools. How has Griffith College changed through these years?
Griffith is changing a lot because we were already very international in 2019, but we're even more so because we have 120 nationalities on campus. And Professor Hegarty is really, really keen on making it an international hub for the students. So the students get this multicultural experience that I think is absolutely fantastic. Not so much maybe for your students, because they already have a very international environment, but there are a lot of students who come from countries they've never really traveled, and they haven't been in contact with other cultures. So to be in that kind of international environment is absolutely extraordinary, I think, for the students. We are more and more involved in close to the industry. So we are really, really career focused, because as you know, in Ireland, we have all the big, big, large companies, and we work very closely with them. So if there is any need that we need to cover, we can cover it very, very quickly. So that's a huge advantage also.
Mm-hmm. You've traveled from Ireland to meet our students here in Athens. And if I ask you what has stood out to you the most about our school community so far, I mean, you met with our advisory class students. What stays with you after your visit?
Well, to be honest, the first thing is that is really a nice surprise, but I'm used to it now when I come here, but the level of English, because there are lots of schools where the level of English is not so good. So to see all your students absolutely fluent and so comfortable in English is really nice. And also to see, as in Griffith, to see different nationalities, I find it very, and the respect also. There are some countries you go and the students are not so respectful towards their teachers or towards me or towards, and you can see that here the students are very respectful. So I find that very pleasant.
Well, you said that, you know, you have so many international students in your college. How does your role as the global engagement officer help bridge that gap between the different cultures, the different backgrounds, the different ethnicities? You must play a role in this.
Well, actually, in Griffith, we each have our areas. So, for example, I have Greece and Spain and France, obviously, and Italy, and others have China. But we always have a monthly meeting with all the international office to see how things are going and how we can improve and whatever. So it's always we work all together to get. So obviously, because I wouldn't be familiar with a Chinese student, so we have the person who looks after China would be able to give the information. So we really specialize on the countries where we work, but then it's a global effort. So we work under the supervision of our international director, Kevin Gagan, who manages the whole team. So, and it's getting, I must say, it's getting wider and wider. And it's really nice to see new faces and to see. But even though we are growing incredibly and things are changing, what I think is the core of Griffith College is that we are still very much focused on the students. The lecturers would know each student by their first name. And so it's very reassuring for the first year when you come to the university. You're kind of panicking, you don't know where to go. And we make sure that the students feel at home and really comfortable. So I think that's one of the best things in Griffith.
Have you seen any changes at the college especially after Brexit? Has the student body changed?
I know that we have more inquiries because people are turning towards Griffith, not only because of Brexit, but because a lot of companies have come to Ireland after Brexit. So obviously, students who are very much international and career focused and who want to work internationally, they have all the reasons to come to Ireland. That's one of the main reasons. But Brexit has made a difference because the fees are outrageously expensive, and also because the students can't stay and work if they're non-EU in England, and even if they are EU now, by the way. Whereas in Ireland, if you have even if you're EU or non-EU, as long as you have an Irish degree, you can stay and get the work experience, which is, for me, is fundamental, because the best thing to do is, the best after your studies is to get into to work and to start. And a lot of our lecturers are from large companies, so it's always more exciting if you're taught by someone who knows exactly what they're talking about. They're not reading out of a book, but they have had the work experience. So if you have the CEO of a big company come and say, oh yes, well, I had a problem yesterday, this is how I solved it, it's obviously more interesting.
Yes, of course. Okay.
To be taught by practitioners.
Yes, so it's half-half. I mean, we have very good academics, of course, but we also have people who are on the...
So you're looking at new students coming in, you're looking at new applicants. From your experience, what do you say are some key qualities or skills that students from K-12 schools should focus on developing a little bit more if they aspire to study at Griffith?
From my experience, I think that students sometimes are kind of at loss. They don't really know. Girls study because they want to please their parents or whatever, and boys study because they have to. But I think that they're really studying intensely when they find what they want to do, and then they really go and start working, studying seriously. So it's difficult to say, well, you have to have this and this or these skills. What you have to have is a vivid interest and to want to come and learn. And we developed what we call a gap year, precisely because I realized 15, 16 years ago that the French students, we had a lot that would start, I don't know, they would start to do medicine or law because their parents were lawyers or because they thought, oh, yes, we have to. They didn't know what to do. So, oh, we may as well do that. And then they drop out in November, December, they think, well, and they waste the year. So we set up what we call a gap year, but a gap year that's constructive, not a gap year where you just wander off and never come back into the sunset. It's a gap year where the student can go and say, oh, I may be interested in, I don't know, music production or design or creative writing or journalism or business. So they can pick and choose. They can take a module from each faculty or from any faculty they wish. And that allows them to say, well, yeah, that I would really be interested in studying that. And that helps them decide what they want to do. So it's not for everybody, but for a student who's really not sure, before engaging, because it's kind of the rest of your life that you're going to, you're gambling, to come and do a semester or to come and do a year and just be in the university environment, which already is a challenge when you've just been home with mom and dad and now you're traveling to. And to start studying and being in there, I find it a very interesting concept and it works really well. And sometimes students after one semester say, oh yeah, well, this is really what I want to do. And then in January, February, they start the career they want to do. So
you're talking about flexibility.
Exactly. No, absolutely. Because, I mean, younger and younger, we kind of put the pressure on students that they have to find a path because there's so much unemployment, there's so much this, there's so much. I think you should let children the time to choose and to develop and to really grow into something they want to be rather than something they've been pushed into. So it's a matter of letting the child decide what they want to be and not being on their back. And sometimes it's good to leave them a bit of space and say, take your time, don't worry. It's 6 months is nothing. If you look back in 30 years, what was 6 months? Nothing. And it's changed and it can be a game changer for the student.
Talking about game changers, I have a question about AI.
Yes.
Because this is a game changer in general.
Yes.
Both in teaching and learning, but also operations.
Yeah.
And how an organization, especially schools, operate nowadays. What would you say are the key qualities that your college is looking for applicants as it pertains to the use of AI and as admissions? My question, a little bit more specific, does AI play a role in your admission process?
As far as I know, no, it doesn't. For the time being, mm-hmm. We've managed to keep AI away from exams and from everything. It's getting more and more difficult, as you know, but we're very tough on what students do with AI.
But and, they do use.
They probably do, but I remember one of the lecturers who's the head of faculty, she said that they were really tough and they do have ways to check.
And they can see
straight away. And each time AI comes out with something new, they come out with something even tougher. So far, they've been ahead of the game. But I don't know for how long.
Yeah, it's something that it's left for us to imagine because it's being developing at breakneck speeds.
Yeah.
And everybody's guess.
Yes,
it's everybody's
exactly.
Guess.
I'm traveling with the head of computing faculty in a couple of weeks, and that's a conversation I want to have with him because I think it's...
Yeah, let us know if you find something really, really interesting.
I will, because I'm very much interested. Well, there is a conference I couldn't go to because I was in meetings, but it was recorded and I haven't listened to it yet. But if it's interesting, I would forward it on to you.
Because, sure. So you work in global engagement. What do you think is the biggest challenge for students adjusting to college life, coming from a different country, different culture? I think you touched upon it a little bit, but how do they overcome these things? What kind of mechanisms your college has for these students that are coming from far away or from around the corner to adjust?
I think that the international office, they're always open. And as I was telling students earlier, and even the lecturers, all the doors are open. And as soon as there's a problem, they can come and knock on the door. And if we see that the student isn't well, we go towards them. And as I said, the lecturers really, it's not a joke. I mean, they know all the students by their first name and they follow them. And if they don't turn up in class, it's not like high school, obviously. But if a student doesn't turn up in class for a day or two, it's not like a university where no one cares. We will inquire and say, well, how come they weren't? Are you okay? Is everything okay? So we're very, very close to the students. We did a survey last year because this year is the 50th anniversary of the foundation of Griffith. And Dermot is still the president and the founder, as you know. And we did a big survey. And what came out is that the students really appreciated the friendship and how open the international office were with them, because we're always trying to improve as we speak. We're working on the key points that we want to improve, that we can improve. But the result was really that 90%, 95% of the students were saying that the welcome was amazing and the contact was amazing. We make sure that the induction day, we show them around the college. We show them where they can go if there's a problem. We show them where they can, the sports, what they can do. And the Students' Union is very, very active, so...
What's the number of students you have?
About 8,000.
8,000?
Yes.
Okay. And these are split between undergrad and graduate?
Yes. Yep. And we have three campuses. We have Cork, Limerick, and Dublin. So Cork and Dublin have more or less the same programs. Limerick is more the master's program. Mm-hmm. Some programs are only in Limerick, but very few. But most of them are in Dublin, on the Dublin campus. Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed any shifts in what students are looking for in higher education or what they aspire later in life from what you hear from them?
Not really, because I see the students beforehand. I don't really see them afterwards, but I follow some of them. And I must say that the students, as I said, a lot of them now are very much worried about future because they... I mean, the world isn't looking great, let's be honest. So they worry about finding a good job and making sure that they're going to be able to. Because I think that now, when I was young, when you were 15, 16, you were enjoying life and whatever. But now, around the table, parents are saying, yeah, life is difficult. I'm going to maybe lose my job. Before, you used to work in a job, parents would start in one job and would retire. They would be in the same job. Whereas now people go through 10 jobs, if not more, during their career, and they change. And I think all that takes a toll on the student. And so they are worried about their future. And the fact that we are working so close to the industry and that we can ensure that they're going to get, that we're really career focused. Mm-hmm. We are obviously throughout a very strong academic program, but we are very, very much career focused. I think that's very reassuring for the student.
What is the most popular program, the most competitive program at Griffith?
Business, I would say.
Business.
Yes, the business is very, very strong. And our postgrads is very, very good. I work very closely with them, with the postgrad. We have programs that are really seriously competitive and really good.
Well, wrapping up, could you share a memorable or a surprising story from a student that you've met during your tours or who attended Griffith and left a lasting impression on you, particularly in how they embraced the Griffith experience?
One of my daughters studied there. The first thing, she wanted to study in Italy because she loved Italy. So I said, you can spend a year studying Italian, but then you have to come back. And she said, oh, mom, you don't love me. How can you send me here? It's raining. It's horrible and whatever. And after 6 months, she said to me, oh, mom, thank you so much. And now she can't thank me enough to have sent her to Griffith. So, but the story I would like to share is one, I was in Louis Le Grand, which is in Paris. It's nothing to do with my students, but, it was fascinating because I had my badge and it said Griffith College and it was freezing cold. So I called one of my colleagues and I said, come and let's have lunch in a little restaurant to warm up. And there was a couple and two children sitting next to me. And the guy looks at me and said, oh, you work for Griffith College. Do you know Dermot Haggerty? And I said, yes, I do. And he was maybe in his 80s. And he said, oh, well, you have to thank him. Thanks to him, I did an incredible career. And I would have never done it. He said, this gentleman is a visionary. And he told me the story. I hope Dermot doesn't mind me telling the story. But he started, literally, he was his first student. 50 years ago, he was Dermot, because Dermot has 2 degrees. He did law, he studied law and accounting. And he opened in his kitchen, he had 9 students of accounting. And in his living room, 9 students law. And he'd run between each one and teach law and then rush and then teach accounting. And he did that. And he said he had such a stamina and everything. He really made the study hard. Anyway, this is 50 years for 9 students. And 50 years later, he's got a college full of international students. And I had dinner with Dermot a couple of weeks later. And I said, oh, I met a gentleman who studied. And I gave the first name. Dermot said straight away
he the remembered.
Name. He remembered the guy's name and everything.
That is called legacy.
Yes, exactly.
So he built legacy.
He did. He's somebody who's quite extraordinary. So to study in his university, I think is a gift if you can go.
Well, Catherine Papen, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you
and
for
visiting ACS Athens and meeting with our students. And we hope we're going to talk about, your touring experience again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Owlcast, the official podcast of ACS Athens. Make sure you subscribe to the Owlcast on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. This has been a production of the ACS Athens Media Studio.